You'll learn about three different characters. And we've all heard their stories, and I'm going to read the scriptures, the story of them. But I want you to think about these three characters and what do they have in common. All in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, and then the third one, is Uzzah. I was talking to Debbie. Debbie was that asked me last night. Said, "So, honey, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" I said, "Well, I've got a message prepared. I have two messages that I'm going to do later from the book of Job, and I had those messages prepared, and I was going over." And I told her, I said, "Well, I think I'm going to preach on Job, but maybe not." You ever sometimes get, and I'm not saying that this is the spirit or what have you, but do you ever get sometimes impressions? You know, that you get strong feeling that you should do something. Well, sometimes in preaching, sometimes I get impressions, strong impressions that, you know, this really needs to be addressed. I don't know whether that, you know, if that's part of the Spirit's working or what. But I kept thinking, said, "Now I'm going to do Job. No, I'm going to do Job. I really want to do this message." And I kept going back to this. And in a way, you know, maybe that is the Spirit saying, "Hey, you know, don't forget this. Don't just say, those are just little stories, you know." Well, many people do with the scriptures, you know. They'll read something and think, "Well, this is a nice story." You know? And then let it go with that. All of us can learn things from the scriptures. And some people say, well, you know it all. No, I don't know it all. Debbie was asking me some time ago about she thought it was odd that here Solomon, when he built the temple, he put two pillars up, and he gave them names. How odd is that? And that drove me to look back in the Word, back in the Scriptures, at those two names he gave them and what they mean. Because that's why Solomon named those pillars and what he named them. So I was going back to these three characters, going, they all have, all three of them have something in common, and have something in common that the church, that we in the church need to deal with and get back to. Because many churches and many Christians, I do believe, have lost their way. So first, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 10, we'll read the story about Nadab and Abihu. Now, who were Nadab and Abihu? Anybody tell me? What's that? Aaron's son. Aaron had three sons, Nadab and Abihu, and Eleazar. Eleazar became the high priest after Aaron, by the way. But Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. So you look at Leviticus 10, it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it. And offered, underline this, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. He has lost his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. God consumed him. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel, and said to them, come forward, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp. So they came forward and carried them, still in their tunics, to the outside of the camp, as Moses said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, so we know at least Aaron had four sons, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, so that you will not die, and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation, that meaning God or Yahweh. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. So they did according to the word of Moses. And then the Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And so it's to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, and between the unclean and the clean. And so it's to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. So here is Aaron's two sons die. God tells, in effect, he's telling Aaron and his sons and his family, I don't want you to mourn. I don't want you to do anything. Furthermore, I don't want you to leave the tent of meeting, because the holy oil, the anointing oil is on you, because if you do, you're going to die. So they did what God said. First story. Now turn all the way over to 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is after David defeated the Philistines. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 of them. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name. That means Yahweh, or what we call the Tetragrammaton. The very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Now picture this in your mind. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence. And he died there by the ark of God. Now what we see in verses 8 here is that David became angry because of that. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day, which means the breakthrough of Uzzah. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And then we learn later the ark is brought back to Jerusalem. What is, when you look at these three individuals, what's the common denominator? What's that?
They were all struck down by God.
They were all struck down by God?
They disobeyed.
What's that?
They
were all struck down by God because they disobeyed. All three of them? Wait a minute now. Uzzah? Wasn't that bad of God to kill him? Why, Uzzah, wasn't he doing the right thing? Wasn't he doing a good thing? He saw the ark on a cart, and he thought it was going to get upset, and he just reached out to steady it. And God killed him. People say, see, many people read those things and they read those stories and they think the common thing about this thing is that we have an unloving God. We have a wrathful God. We have a God who doesn't care about people. He just wiped these people out. What kind of love is that? That's what many people would see, and many people see in these stories. But was God just in doing those things? Was God right? Why?
He gave a command and they didn't follow it. They didn't have faith.
He gave a command and they didn't follow it. Okay, they gave a command. God gives commands. They didn't follow it.
Example.
They disobeyed. You wiped them out. What's that? The common denominator is this. God has a pattern. He has a way of doing things. Nadab and Abihu, it tells us there, they offered what? Weren't they supposed to offer incense? That's what they were doing. They got the fire pans out, got incense ready, and they offered incense. But then it says what? they offered strange fire that God did not command. His way of doing things. His pattern. What he told them to do. Now, why I say that this is a common denominator with the story of Uzzah and God killing him. David goes and gets the Ark of God. He puts it on a what? He puts it on a cart. Oxen are driving that. Who is Uzzah? We don't hear anything about these guys, and we don't hear anything about him after that incident. But who was Uzzah? What's that? It doesn't tell us, but I'll tell you this. He was one of David's men, of that 30,000, one of his warriors. Do you see this, people? Uzzah was not a what? Uzzah was not a Levite. Who's supposed to take care of the Ark of God? Who did God say? He said the Levites, didn't he? Uzzah was not a Levite. But not only was Uzzah not a Levite, what was the Ark of God on? It was on an ox. It was on a cart driven by an ox. Did God ever tell the children of Israel, even David, during David's time now, did God ever tell them to put the Ark of God, did he tell them to put it on a cart driven by oxen? No. Pattern. They didn't follow the pattern. Uzzah, even though he's with David, and people say, well, you blame David on it. Why didn't God strike David down? David's the one that caused it. No, no, no. The pattern. How was the Ark of God supposed to be carried? What's that? Yes. Who was to carry it? This is important. Who was to carry it? Levites. And it might say, read the scriptures. And Stuart was saying, they were supposed to carry it on their shoulders with poles. They didn't do that. So they weren't following God's pattern, his way. So what happened to them then? They reaped the consequences. They reaped the consequences of that. Because they didn't follow what God said. They didn't follow his pattern. Nadab and Abihu, they knew what they were supposed to do. God had told them. But they decided to do things what? They decided to do things on their own. And their way. God says, Now, think about this. Once they did that, and Uzzah did that, more so with these two, what if God just let it go? What if God had said, and he could, and some would say, he should have, that would have been the more loving thing to do. What if God just said, oh, you know what, guys? It's all right. I'll let it go this time. Just don't do it again. What's that, Jeff?
For the sake of that generation. He was going to enforce it already. He told Moses, see to it that you follow the pattern set out.
Set out by me. Yes. Exactly. And what God is saying here, if God just let it go, what would that show of God? What's that? Exactly. Could you trust him? God said, I'll just let it go. I'll just let them do whatever they want to do. Same thing with the ark. Yes, this man lost his life because they didn't follow the pattern. Because they didn't follow the way God wanted them to do. See? Now, can you see that, relate that to today? I think we can. God has a pattern. He has a way set out. Have you ever been taught or have you heard of well, that didn't come out very good. Off. Have you ever been taught this? What we call typology? Type and anti-type? Have you ever heard of that? Scripture is full of this. And it all has to do with God's pattern. There's been numbers of these sayings that have been done, numbers over the years. But in the Old Testament, you see the type. And in the New Testament, you see the antitype. And it all has to do with God's pattern. For instance, in the Old Testament, you have the type of the Holy of Holies. What was the Holy of Holies? It was a place where God's presence was, right? Exodus 25. In Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 16, says this. It talks about the Ark of the Covenant. Because in the Holy of Holies, that's what you have. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And you see how important this is. Exodus 25, 10 through 16 says, they shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make a gold molding around it. You shall cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them on its 4 feet, and 2 rings shall be on one side of it and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. You see what was supposed to be with the ark? The poles. The pattern. He says, the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. Now, when you look at the example of Uzzah and David's men, and the ark being on the cart, where's the pole? Doesn't say the poles were with him. God said they shall not be removed from it. They, the Levites, were to carry the ark on their shoulders with those poles. God's presence, the reason why that was important, because the Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies. And the ark contains several things we know, but God had a pattern for for a certain way for it to be carried. Now, the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies is the type. And God said that was supposed to be carried a certain way. If you look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 7 through 14, God tells us what the antitype is. Where's God's presence now? You say, I don't see God. Where's his presence? Now, I'm not talking physical or visible, but where's his presence on the earth now? The antitype of the Holy of Holies in the Ark of the Covenant now, Hebrews 9. Is the church. It's the church. It's where his presence is at now. Next, you had, and that's why this was important, after the Ark of the Covenant of type. Next, you had the altar. The altar of incense. Okay? That's found in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. And God specifically laid out what that was supposed to be. And Nadab and Abihu come along. And they offer strange fire. Different from what God said. See? God tells them what they're supposed to do with that. The altar of incense. What was the importance of that? Because when they offered the incense and the altar of incense, what were they offering to God? Huh?
Pleasing fragrance.
It was God's way, what God was saying to them, this is my way for you to communicate with me. This altar of incense. This is pleasing to me. This, in effect, is a prayer to me. But you must follow the pattern that I have given you for that. And the antitype of the altar of incense, by the way, in the scriptures, and you can see that, is prayer. Revelation 5, verse 8. Everything that was contained in the tabernacle, everything that was contained in the temple, God had a pattern for it. He had a type which foreshadowed what is to be found in the New Testament, the antitype. In Exodus chapter 25, God talks about the golden candlesticks. And on that golden candlestick, how many were there? I find this rather interesting. If you look at the scriptures, Exodus, it is brought out in Exodus 25, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. The golden candlestick that God brings out, talks about, had 66 pieces to it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. What Paul says there. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the church, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Well, how is that done now? See, the golden candlestick is a type. The antitype for that is God's word. The word of God. The scriptures. How many books in the Bible do we have? 66. I think there's a reason for that. Not that man did it. I think God saw to it that there were 66. And it goes along with that, the golden candlestick. And then you have the table of showbread in Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 through 30. What's the table of showbread? What's the antitype? What's the antitype? Anybody guess? Huh? The table of showbread is the antitype. I mean, it's a type. The antitype of that in the New Testament, and why you see the importance of this, brothers and sisters, is because the antitype for that is the Lord's Supper. You're beginning to see, when you see type and antitype, you begin to see the pattern that God has. Folks, this isn't taught enough. We're missing out in the church today in the pattern. Now, when you look at the type and the antitype, before the priest could enter in to the Holy of Holies, before they could enter in to God's, the tabernacle, which contained the Ark of Covenant and those other things, altar of incense and that, before the priest could enter in there, the holy place, what did they have to have on? God said for them to clothe themselves a certain way. They were supposed to have on what was known in Exodus chapter 28 to chapter 29. Verse 5 lays this out. They were supposed to have on certain garments. God had a pattern. So the antitype. If they were had to wear a certain thing, the antitype for us is what? We also have to put on a certain garment. What is that garment? Well, Paul tells us what it is. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were immersed, baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Do you see that? That's the garment we're supposed to have. That comes through our baptism. We clothe ourselves with Christ. That's our garment. And that's so important. One other thing that we often miss, it's found in Exodus chapter 30. And you see the type. Exodus 30, verses 18 through 20. He says, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze for washing. And you shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet from it. When they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water, so they, what? so they will not die. Get that? Or when they approach the altar to minister by offering up in smoke a fire sacrifice to the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they will not die. And it shall be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generation. The laver, they had to wash in it. Both their hands and their feet. Why? God said if they didn't do that, they would die. So you had the laver, which is the type. What's the antitype? The antitype is baptism. It's our immersion into Christ. And many people today don't want to hear that. But if this is not done, just as the priest did not wash their feet and their hands before they enter, would die. We have a high priest, do we not? We are priests before God. What Scripture said, 2 Peter. We have a high priest. Our high priest is Jesus. Jesus told us to do some things. God gave his son that pattern. That was passed down. If it was not important what Peter said on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, why in the world did he say it? Who was it meant for? Just a certain people? No, God meant it for everyone. And what he's saying here is if you don't undergo a burial and immersion into Christ, you're going to die in your sins. Exactly. And that's putting on that garment. But we also know that type, as far as the temple and the tabernacle is concerned, there was the altar of burnt offering, which the high priest offered that burnt offering once a year for the atonement of the people. Exodus chapter 27 and Exodus 38. What's the antitype of that? Christ's sacrifice, his death. He's the antitype. We don't need to have an altar of burnt offering. We no longer need that because Jesus is our offering. Do you see that? And you see how important that is. All wrapped up, all those things can be wrapped up if you read why Hebrews is so important. If you read Hebrews chapter 9, it's all laid out there. God had a way and a pattern for the people, for his people in the Old Testament that he set up. He said, I want you to follow this. If you don't follow it, consequences. In the New Testament, you have the antitype. God has a pattern. He says, you follow this. You follow this, you have life. You have eternal life. You refuse to follow my pattern that I have given you. And what do you have? You have eternal separation from God if you don't follow the pattern. That's a lesson within that. And that we so often forget. And their main lesson is follow the pattern. I had a friend that a number of years ago wrote a column in Restoration Herald, Jim Book. And he talked about this in the column, and you can bring it down to this. Where God, his pattern, where God has a period, do not put a comma. What that means is, Don't add to, don't take away from God's way. Because you see, it's either his way, or guess what?
Yeah.
Exactly. Or it's nothing. See? That's why this is so important for us to see. And brothers and sisters, it's not being taught enough in our churches. And it is a matter, I firmly believe this, it is a matter of life and death. Why this is so important. Let's stand, we're going to sing, "For God So Loved the World." All of that's why he came, see? His pattern's through his son. If you don't want that, okay. If people don't want that, okay. But God's going to say, here's the consequences if you don't. But you follow my pattern? What's the consequence? Eternal life.